And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
My great pleasure to welcome into the studio this day the mayor of the city of Palmer, Edna DeVries. Welcome,
good
mayor.
Morning.
I sometimes wonder exactly what to say. We've known one another for 40 years.
Yes, we have.
And yet you have a position of prominence. You have been elected to be the mayor of the city of Palmer.
Uh-huh.
And with that, in the formal settings that you act as mayor, and I'm thinking primarily of the council meetings.
Sure.
One of the, I think, most interesting things is when formality is important and how to make it comfortable while still keeping order along this. So I noticed, for example, and people who have regularly attended council meetings probably notice it as well, there's a formal process.
Right.
And, and this is practiced in as you move up the scale, if you will, to the borough assembly, perhaps, and to the legislature, the pattern, and to the U.S. Congress, for that matter.
Sure.
How you speak to one another and request the opportunity to speak changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought we could begin a little bit with that and say,
okay,
how does it feel to be the Honorable Edna DeVries, mayor of the city of Palmer? And how do you handle that balance between formality and ease of discussion?
Well, yeah, you're right. That is because we do have a set agenda, just as any other public body does, or probably almost any organization you belong to. You know, you have a meeting and you have an agenda, items you want to complete, discussion, and you don't want to curtail the discussion, but also, you know, you don't want to have somebody drone on for a long, long period of time. So I think, have a pretty formal but informal way that I run the meetings, and I try to allow everybody that wants to give some input that they can give some input. You know, I think we've probably both been places where people have tried to put in some input, and from the body language, et cetera, from other people, they get sort of stifled. And I don't think that's good in the public process, and especially for a public government body, and especially if those people are from our community, because we need to be open to all the discussion, whether we like it or whether we agree with it or whether we are, like, you know, supporters of it. So,
sure.
Does that answer your question?
That's a start, because I've got another part to this.
Okay.
I've been thinking about it.
That's what I always enjoy. I know you spent time thinking about these before we do these, so I always enjoy that.
So, in the formal process, for those listeners who've been to meetings, they probably are aware of it. There's an agenda with items where people are encouraged to speak from the audience, and basically two kinds of opportunities. One is basically persons to be heard to speak on anything, primarily non-agenda items.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can come and speak to anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the second is, of course, a more focused presentation by someone about an item that is on the agenda when there's a public hearing associated with it.
Right.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed is, of course, that these are opportunities for persons to be heard, but it's really difficult, it seems, to have any kind of discussion. So if someone, for example, comes up and they want to speak their mind and give an opinion, that's one thing. But if a question is asked.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that, you're absolutely right.
So what's your thoughts about ways? Because at the present time, if I'm, you know, my observation is that what tends to happen is in a further discussion, once the person has sat down, The council has a discussion on a particular agenda item.
Right.
There may be reference to that question that was asked.
Right.
Either then or later in comments.
Right.
But there's such a distance that the dialogue never happens in that way. Talk a little bit about that.
I agree with you. And, you know, I've been to borough assembly meetings, and I, lots of times I think the person coming forth, especially in audience participation, and our, let's just use, you know, okay, my garbage hasn't been picked up for 2 weeks and I've been calling the city. You know, we've never had this problem, but I'm just going to use that as an example. And, you know, we want to know what you want to do about it. And like you said, that's a question. And there's seven people, elected officials, sitting there staring at that person. And we're just like, okay, the next person. You know, the one thing that I think in my defense that I've tried to do is ask the city manager, you know, or say to the person, I think the city manager can handle that problem for you. And so if you're going to be here at the end of the meeting, be sure, you know, and get his card or, you know, call first thing in the morning or come by tomorrow morning or something like that. He'll be in the office. But yet, you know, you're right. There still is that when we don't want to, you know, keep people from coming forth when they think, well, you know, I'm not going to get an answer from those seven people. They're just going to look at me and stare, and I'm going to feel more uncomfortable than I was when I came. So,
well, I think you, you do that well. I mean, you direct, and I see follow-up after the time. I'm curious that, for example, one of the things that we could encourage listeners to do, if they're listening to this discussion, is that, yeah, we've been there, we wondered about that, is perhaps to have the contact before the meeting with the appropriate director or manager and so on to explore, to have an opportunity to discuss this with someone so that someone doesn't arrive at the council meeting saying, well, I'm going to take it right to the people with power and we'll get something here. And they have not gone through the process of saying, okay, I have an issue that involves Public Works. And and so I've contacted the Public Works and we've had this discussion. And I want to come and maybe say, you know, thank you for what they did. I just want to bring up the kind of a bigger issue. And in doing that, also encourage people to maybe focus on one thing at a time rather than dumping. I've got a bag of stuff I've been picking through for a year and I'm going to throw this all out and where do you even begin?
Yeah, you're right. That is true. And sometimes I know that I myself, as well as the clerk, have gone out prior to the meeting and introduced ourselves to people that are there and be sure that they have an agenda, you know, the hard copy if they don't have electronic one, and just say to them, you know, is there an issue that you're interested in or something? But we could, I think, easily expand that also because, as you know, all of the directors do attend unless maybe they're on vacation, you know, so we have Public Works there. We're going to have, you know, Brad will now be there for community development. You know, Lance is generally always there for the police department, or Dwayne is if Lance is on vacation, and the fire department is generally there. So that's probably an area that we could take and try to assist the person prior to the meeting as well as, you know, afterwards.
Or during a break or whatever, to say that that's one of the reasons people are there, not just to supply information to the council, but provide additional ways for a dialogue and conversation to happen. Because as I understand, you have the council has an interesting dance. You're and I think of it in the metaphor of a dance because as you're working here, you may lead in some respect, but it's a kind of a thing where you don't want to dominate and be the controlling, because you have you have the staff, you have that's doing the work, you have the people at large, and they have part of this, and you're all involved in this movement, rather than having someone say, "Well, the council is going to just do everything and make it all happen." So
I think, and also, you know, we you know, don't want the council or a council member say that that's one of their pet peeves or something, and there to be any bad discourse between the person that's testifying and the council person that, you know, what I'm saying.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And we don't want to go down that path either. Now, I do think the borough assembly probably allows more give and take under their audience participation.
I have observed that happening.
Yeah. And sometimes they don't. I haven't been able to really figure out, you know, and so.
It's putting another burden upon the facilitator, it was the mayor, or you
sure.
as mayor,
sure.
to say if there's something that is obviously available here that would be really helpful, the person has some information to allow that to go on and not to get down the rabbit hole of a dialogue, et cetera, that
right.
takes you way off into other directions.
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched
right.
that happen, and I've seen it be very helpful,
mm-hmm.
But it requires a lot of attention. And
right.
and I suspect you've noticed, you know, okay,
right.
there's a poll, but
yeah.
when do you do it and when don't you?
Right.
That's
yeah.
a judgment
yeah.
call. Yeah.
And I generally try to glance at the council when the person under audience participation is speaking or they have finished, you know, just to see if any of the council
right.
people,
yeah.
And if they want to venture out there, you know, don't want to, you know, cut them off or not allow them to speak. But so anyway, hopefully we're cordial to people and we'd give them the opportunity to come forth and they feel comfortable. And we certainly welcome that because, you know, there certainly are things that go on administratively. None of us are there, you know,
sure.
40 hours a week. You know, we're out doing other things and being part of the communities and have jobs, et cetera. So
looking back, I remember events happening at the MTA Event Center, for
uh-huh.
example, which were other opportunities for people to express opinions about things. As you're looking ahead this year,
mm-hmm.
are you aware of, other than the kind of opportunities are taken when people notice you out in the community and they
uh-huh.
come up and they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any formal plans for an opportunity for people to take a look at what the city is working on and give feedback on it in those kinds of events? I think you've attended them in the past.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Generally, we do in the fall have that sort of public project, you know,
sure.
and we've had it at the depot, as you said, it's also at the ice arena. And we have the projects there and we ask for public input and things like that. One of the big ones I think that's coming up, or should be coming up pretty soon, is the State Highway Department has promised us that there will be some public meetings after they award the contract on the Glen Highway expansion so that people can come and see the plans and ask the questions, you know, okay, I have a business on this street. How are people going to get to me? Or I live on this street and, you know, I need to be to work. You know, how much more additional time do I need to allow? You know, is there going to be flag people or, you know, or deters and, you know, and that kind of thing. And so hopefully, you know, as they said, the Department of Highway said when they appeared before us a couple of weeks ago
right,
that they were going to have those, but they hadn't at that time received the federal monies and they hadn't even advertised for the bids, let alone award the contract. So, but that would be one opportunity. And then maybe I'm glad you brought this up, that maybe we should at the end, either I myself or the city manager should just stand up and say, are there other things regarding the city that you would like to ask us either privately or publicly here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just another half hour, 45 minutes at the end of the meeting for that.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A good thought. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm fascinated. I think that what happens, particularly, you've mentioned this very large project on
right.
the highway, and
mm-hmm.
I suspect that there'll be a lot of people that will be very much interested in knowing what's going to happen, and also
sure.
Happy to hear that they have an opportunity to speak.
Right.
And in some ways, what I've noticed actually caused the project to move a slight
sure.
distance
one way
over
or
here
the,
or there,
right.
and the rest to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next thing I'm curious about, you're down to six.
Right,
only
we are.
Six.
Yes.
At the last meeting, there was a vote to waive the one-year rule between the time when someone is sitting on the council and is able to be employed by the city.
We did.
And Brad, Brad Hansen has taken the position of Economic Development Director and has resigned from the council.
Right.
And listeners might be interested in knowing something about, well, okay,
all right.
Now what happens?
Do we just sit there and put a paper man there or something? But no, what will happen is our next meeting, which is the 22nd, a week away, and the council will formally accept his resignation.
All right.
And then that will, the next day or the next day after that, Wednesday or Thursday, the clerk will advertise for 2 weeks. And anybody that is a registered voter, a resident in Palmer, I think they have to be a registered voter in Palmer for 1 year. And they can live any place in the community of Palmer. We don't have designated seats.
Right.
And so there will be an application that they can put forth to the city clerk. And then our meeting on the 12th of June, depending on how many people we have. If we have a couple, it's, you know, process is going to be simpler. If we have seven or plus or whatever, we will have probably an interview. And this will all be done in the public.
Okay.
There will be no executive session. There will be no, you know, secret ballot or paper ballots or anything like that. And we will discuss this more the night of the 22nd because I want to have some input from the council. But the rough idea is probably we will ask each person that has applied maybe two or three questions just about, you know, why are you interested?
Sure.
What is your vision for Palmer? What do you think we're doing right that we're not doing right? What is the areas you think we're lacking in? Maybe just a question or a little bit of information about why they think they're a better candidate than Joe or Mary or Susie or whoever. And then the council will vote. And each council person will have one vote. But we have to have four votes.
Right.
The council cannot do anything, not only this question.
Anything.
But anything. Yeah, we always have to have four votes.
Right.
And so then we'll have four votes, and that'll be done in the public. And the clerk will just read the names of the council people and, you know, Councilman Carrington, and he'll say, you know, votes for Mary or
yes. So there might be if you have multiple candidates, this could go on for a while.
It could. And that's why if it does go on for a while or if the council's, you know, after the interview, say we have – you know what, four plus, I'll just pick that figure. But
sure.
Say we have four plus candidates, and they may say, well, you know, we want to meet in a few days because we want to think about what these people have said, look maybe at if the person has put in like a resume or something like that. And so we may end up not making a decision the night of the 12th of June. But if we only have one candidate that puts in or we only have two, we could easily happen that night. And then they would, of course, be installed the following council meeting. So
and that then is the next step. They are installed, but only until the fall when they would have to run or choose to run or not.
Right.
Because the appointment only goes for a few months.
Right. Because of the timing of the resignation, that position will be, as you said, just filled until the October election. Now, in July, from the middle to the end of July, is our candidacy notice or applications. So they would, if they wanted to, they would have to file either for the 2 year seat, which would be the completion of Brad's seat, or they could, there was 2 3-year terms. So they could file for one of those 3 year terms.
Now, that's a variation because normally, since when seats come up, two seats come up, it's winners take all.
Right.
So if you have three candidates, two seats, the top two get it, and you're not really applying for a seat.
Right.
But you're suggesting something that I hadn't really thought about.
Yeah.
That the person would, is that specified that way that the person who is filling a seat which has remaining part in its term
right.
gets to choose.
Right. So like the person there on the ballot would be to vote for two for a 3-year term, and it would be the people that had applied to run for a 3-year term. Then there will be another question on the ballot for a 2-year term, and the people that have applied for that, and that would just be the top vote getter for that because there's only one seat.
Well, that's interesting. So,
yeah,
that makes it a little different this time around to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. And that's the way, it's my understanding that they vote, that they have done it in the past.
Okay.
And that's what our interpretation is of the code, rather than, you know, put them together and the third highest person would have to
take the 2-year
term.
Okay.
So,
well, that's interesting.
And there's no obligation for the person that we appoint to run.
They could just stay in there for
that couple
months.
That could be a personal, you know, some of the council would feel, okay, I want to vote for somebody that is going to run.
Right.
And or maybe has run in the past if there is those type of people that have filed. That's going to be up to each individual council person to make that decision for themselves.
Okay. Sounds, well, that leads us with, I think, maybe a little follow-on to the most attended meeting that I have seen in a long time.
Right.
Perhaps you have also.
For me also.
is that the discussion of projects being suggested for the old Fred Meyer building?
Right.
And my understanding that I've heard that one of the proposals involving U-Haul has moved a bit closer, but I'm not aware of any further movement on that has officially been made public.
We're waiting for the press release along with you.
Okay. Well, I just
and
confirmed
so
that.
So that's my understanding that they had anticipated have a closing sometime during the month of May, latter part. And so at our meeting on the 22nd, you know, we may have somebody that will come up and say, okay, or they may do the press release that day or the day after or, you know, or what. I have not heard. So as far as I've heard, they are still in first place.
Okay.
Because they meet the zoning requirements, there's nothing that's going to come before the council for their business.
Just an announcement that.
That we have purchased, just like, say, if you sold the radio station to somebody, you know, there would be, have a press release and an announcement, and that is just between private parties. Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the legislature, which appears to be coming to an end for this session. They've taken care of the big items.
Right.
And I'm not aware of anything. Can you talk a little bit about anything that they might do that would affect the city of Palmer in these last days?
No, I think we have, as far as I know, revenue sharing is there. Okay. And so that's something we get every year. And so as far as I know, that funding is in the operating budget. But of course, there's no capital budget, so we, as far as we know, you know, we're not even. And what we did for our capital request, we put in some very expensive items and some lesser items, you know, that were like $25,000 to $100,000. And as far as I know, unless somebody in the conference committee would add something, there's nothing in the capital budget for the city of Palmer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have taking the opportunity to ask a lot of questions in the remaining minutes we have, because we've gone almost through our entire half hour.
Okay.
What would you like to tell people?
Well, I think, and again, looking at the agenda for the 22nd, one of the, I think, exciting things for the city of Palmer, well, really not for the city, but for the community of Palmer, is that Maple Springs, the one that had got the certificate of need for the nursing facility, is asking the city of Palmer to extend their water and sewer outside the city, and it will be a parcel that is on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway, right where Hemmer Road dead ends into the Palmer-Wasilla.
Okay.
Right in there. And so that's on the agenda for the 22nd. And so yesterday I had the opportunity to do the proclamation for older Americans at the seniors. And that was well received. And a lot of seniors, as well as I think younger family members, wondering, you know, about what they're going to do with their aged parents. So that facility is, as far as I know, will probably start construction if the city gives, you know, if the council gives permission for the water and sewer to be extended. And I anticipate that won't be a problem because we've done that for another. So we're very happy about that. And then... Go ahead, sir.
Plastic bags. I almost forgot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's we'll have public hearing on plastic bags. There's been an ordinance that has been presented, and so the public hearing will be the night of the 22nd. And if people want to come, they most certainly can, or they can send written testimony to the clerk, or if they send written testimony to any of the council members, we have an agreement that that council member will send it on to the clerk, and the clerk will then make it available for everybody. Because of the open meetings law that we operate under the state of Alaska, if they would send it to a certain council person, that council person could not send it to all of the council members. It has to go through the clerk, or otherwise it seems like you're having a non-public meeting.
I could see how that would happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Might be a few people. I noticed that in the last meeting there was a fair amount of information that was provided regarding plastic bags and the proposed ban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it does set a specific mill levy or
thickness
of the bag. And so I think that'll be probably one of the things that will be discussed. The other thing I think is the date it would be implemented. And who else knows what else somebody else could bring up under it.
Good topics. Yeah. Okay, 30 seconds. Last comment.
Oh, well, this has been Palmer's Cleanup Week, and from what I hear from the citizens, they're very happy with the plan the city manager came up with. Yeah, that's excellent plan that he came up with. And so on Friday, there will be Palmer Chamber will award some bicycles to some young people that, you know, have done outstanding cleanup work. And so that's always a great event for the city of Palmer. And so we get Palmer all spruced up. The green leaves are starting to come out, and we're anxiously awaiting spring, summer.
And all the rest. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mayor Edna DeVries, for coming in and talking about her role as mayor and the city of Palmer.
Thank you, sir, for giving me this opportunity.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.